Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with me today, for being part of my day. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Put your tennis shoes on. We're gonna be moving fast here. Our good friend Dr. David Gratzer is back on the show with us, but he's the author of The Cure: How Capitalism Can Save the American Healthcare. David is a doctor. He's a physician and a senior fellow also at the Manhattan Institute for Policy Research. And many of you have read his articles in a number of publications around the world. And as I said, he's our friend. David, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be back. Good morning.
It's good to have you back. Very, very interesting article in the Wall Street Journal, Opinion Journal, WSJ.com, on your comments on Michael Moore's movie Sicko. Now, we all know who Michael Moore is. Michael Moore is the guy who probably wishes Karl Marx were still alive, and he's the guy who likes Chavez in Venezuela, even though the things that he says, that Michael Moore says in the United States about our own government, about our own president, et cetera, he couldn't go to Venezuela and say those things. But he likes the president who creates that kind of an atmosphere nonetheless. Anyway, he's created this new movie called Sicko. And tell us what it's about, David.
It's supposedly a documentary, and he spends about half of it talking about problems with American healthcare and about half of it looking to other systems for ideas. Those of us who've seen it and know this area well, such as myself, have been pretty unpersuaded. It's moving, it's emotional, I mean, he does a great entertainment package. It's pretty substanceless.
It's pretty much without substance, and tell us why.
Well, let me start, I guess, with just the factual errors. I don't believe that this is a documentary that could have survived a basic fact check.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about what he suggests about public health care systems across the world, which we can talk about in a moment, but just their basic factual errors, just a few off the top of my head. He suggests that America's experimentation with HMOs started with this Nixonian plot, and he plays grainy White House tapes from the early 1970s. HMOs came to the scene because Congress passed the HMO Act in 1973, which, by the way, had Teddy Kennedy as a co-sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a conspiracy. You didn't need to have White House tapes. After that, he talks about how, when HMOs came in the scene in the 1970s, health spending collapsed. And, in fact, people waited for care in the United States. And he shows footage of some gentleman waiting in an emergency room. It looks like a tape from the 1980s, but it's undated. And he's talking about how he's waited 20 hours for care, 18 hours for care, and that's what's happening in America. Since the HMO Act passed in 1973, as you're aware, health spending per capita, adjusted for inflation, has increased fivefold.
Exponentially,
he says A, and it's not even that B is kind of true. None of it's true. So there's these basic factual errors. It's very manipulative. And, of course, as I'm sure you want to discuss with me this morning, what he says about other countries, Canada, Britain, France, is just not true.
Well, the other thing is that if you think about it, healthcare continues to be about 17-18% of the U.S. GDP, right?
Right, but a sixth of the general economy.
Exactly. But I think about this. It still is today. It was 17 years ago in 1990, and we don't have the U.S. economy has doubled from $6 trillion in 1990 to $13 trillion in 2007. And healthcare has kept pace, and it still is about 17% of our economy, even though the economy has doubled, whereas our population has not doubled in the last 17 years.
Right. And, you know, these things are very complex. And I think you hit the
nail. For him to say that it hasn't grown is obviously... So what you're saying is his movie's not a documentary, it's fiction.
I think it's a cartoon, one without animation, but it's black and white. Look, I'm not suggesting for a minute there aren't smart, articulate people who don't believe in a single-payer or government-run system. Jonathan Cohn at the New Republic is a frequent debating partner of mine, and we just philosophically disagree, but he's smart, he's articulate, and I think he puts forward a reasonable case.
The point is he intellectually honest, though, about all the issues?
And Michael Moore is not.
That's the point that we've got to have. The people who are debating this issue, we've got to have people who are intellectually honest and capable of seeing the truth and telling the truth. We're going to be right back with somebody who does tell the truth, Dr. David Gratzer. He and I will be right back. It's 20 Till. His book is called The Cure. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's the almost 10-year-old website where you can find all of our stuff, including the show that we do today, the ones we did yesterday, the ones we did 5 years ago. We've got archives going back to 1999. We've been streaming on the Internet since 98. We've been simulcasting since January of 98. So not too many people you know have been doing it longer than that. But now we have new technology. That means that you can go to my website and find any archive that you like, anyone that you're interested in. And like the one we're doing right now with Dr. David Gratzer talking about healthcare and the future of healthcare, you can go and you can go back and listen to it over and over again later on, or you can actually, we're going to give you fair use possession of it. You can put it, burn it onto your hard drive or burn it onto a CD, take it with you if you want and use it to your advantage. And of course, check out our knowledge base, AskJim.biz, which is the world's only small business knowledge base where you can go and get answers instantaneously. So I hope you'll check that out when you get a chance. No barrier to entry at any of my websites. If you can get there, we'll let you in. David Gratzer, as I said, Dr. David Gratzer is our guest. He's a practicing psychiatrist licensed in both Canada and the United States. His book is called The Cure, How Capitalism Can Save American Healthcare. David, we're overlaying some of our thoughts in as a little bit of a rebuttal to, or maybe as a serious rebuttal to Michael Moore's movie Sicko. You said, your subtitle says how capitalism can save American healthcare. I believe that if we can get more market based solutions in America, if we can let the marketplace solve the healthcare issues, which I think it can, if we can make healthcare more portable, make the tax issues 21st century structured rather than 20th century structured, make everything more portable, I believe the U.S. healthcare system could become a model for the rest of the world and maybe save other economies. What do you think?
I think so, but you know what you're saying at some level sounds shocking. I mean, we're so used to people saying, look, we have a market in healthcare and it doesn't work. But of course I agree with you. As you're well aware, for every dollar spent in the United States on healthcare, 50 cents comes from government coffers. That other 50 cents...
Through tax advantages of some kind or another.
Or direct spending, Medicare,
right.
Medicaid, VA.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that other 50 cents on the healthcare buck is so heavily regulated and influenced by government spending, the shadow of government, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So I think rather than take the approach Michael Moore says, which is, look, let's do what Canada has done, let's do what Britain has done, or Sweden, countries that incidentally are looking to change their system to be more private and free market.
Right.
I think in the United States we ought to do is say, look, in 5/6 of the general economy, we're happy, and we use individual choice and competition, or, to use a blunter term, capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if that works there, that's the approach we ought to have, a made-in-America solution for American healthcare.
Now, if Michael Moore thinks Canada is such a great program, you're a medical practitioner in Canada. Where's he wrong?
Well, I was born in Canada. I was raised in Canada. I have a medical degree. I practice sometimes in Canada. In fact, I'm doing that these days. This is a system that hasn't come up with a silver bullet. I mean, you listen to somebody like Michael Moore, and he says, look, healthcare got really expensive in the United States, but you can look to a country like Canada, and it's all free, and everyone's covered, and everything is just splendid. Canada didn't come with a new model for primary care, or some sort of an innovative package for prevention, or anything of the sort. All that happened in Canada, and for that matter, Britain, and for that matter, Sweden, is they said, look, health costs are rising because population's getting older, medicine's getting more sophisticated, so we're going to make it harder for people to get access to health care. We'll restrict the number of people who are graduating from, we'll reduce the number of people graduating from med schools, we'll cut down on hospital beds, we'll close nursing schools, and we'll essentially ration through waiting.
And you're saying this is what happened in Canada?
And in Britain and in Sweden, all right across the Western world.
Mm-hmm.
And so is Michael Moore right in saying, you know, you go to an emergency room in Canada and you don't have to worry about paying? That is true. What is totally misrepresentative of the system is the suggestion is you can get timely care. I mean, according to government's own statistics, I'm picking on emergency room wait times because that's what he emphasized in his he said, you know, no one waits more than 45 minutes in a Canadian ER. In actual fact, according to the government's own stats, only about half of people are treated in a timely manner in Canadian ERs by national and international standards.
Let me ask you a question. I've heard stories about, in England, for example, somebody being diagnosed with cancer and being told that they could have to wait a year for chemotherapy.
I'm not familiar with that story, but if you're listening,
how does that happen in Canada?
Sorry?
What would be their experience in Canada?
It's a hodgepodge. I mean, it would depend on what city they're in. It would depend on what hospital they're affiliated with. But I tell you something: if you look at studies comparing cancer care in Canada, cancer care in the United States, you find 5-year outcomes are significantly better, statistically better, in the U.S. than in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the U.S. trumps Britain and France and so on. So for people
if you're in America,
yeah,
I don't care what city you're in, if you're diagnosed with cancer, you're probably going to get a treatment within hours, maybe. You'd be more likely to get a treatment within hours rather than weeks, and certainly probably no more than just days.
Absolutely.
If the doctor diagnoses you with cancer today and he or she thinks you need to have immediate chemotherapy, you may be on the table getting it the next day, no matter where you live in America. Stand by. Quick break. Right back with Dr. David Gratzer. We're going to talk a little bit more about this, including why some of the other countries are wishing they could become more like America. Stay with us.
I said, hey, what is this?
Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Dr. David Gratzer, the author of The Cure. He's also a fellow at Manhattan Institute, and that's manhattan-institute.com, right, David?
.org.
I'm sorry. Manhattan-institute.org. And the book, The Cure, is found where, David?
You can find it in bookstores across the country. You can order it on Amazon.com. It's all over.
Do you have your own website, or would you just wanted to find you at Manhattan Institute?
I've got a webpage at the Manhattan Institute that does talk about some of my recent articles and has links, including Who's Really Sicko, that Wall Street Journal essay that you would like that I'd written.
Exactly. It's a great one, folks. I encourage you to check it out. That's manhattan-institute.org. The reason why I talk about these issues, David, on my show, on the Small Business Advocate show, is because small business owners need help. We need to be able to be more competitive with our benefits packages, so we can attract good people to our companies. And one of the ways we're at a disadvantage though, David, because we don't have access to purchasing packages, programs, healthcare programs for our employees with the same kind of capability that big companies and unions do.
Absolutely.
And so we need to be able to do that. We need a tax system that is more equitable. We need to be able to buy health care across state lines. We need our employees and the owners of our businesses. We need that health care to be more portable, more market-based. We need all Americans need to become more health care consumers. We need to become as smart about buying health care as we are about buying clothes or cars or food. And that's the only way. I think the key to saving our health care system is not even capitalism. I think it's consumerism. I think the more people are smart about how they buy their health care, what these things are worth, what they cost, where to get the best value for the dollar you're spending, rather than saying, oh, I can get an operation, all I have to pay is $15, you know, copay. As long as we have that attitude, we're going to be in trouble in the United States. But if we can get our people to be more consumers of health care, I think that's going to be a big deal. What do you think?
I couldn't agree with you more. Look, I'm not suggesting in my writings that there aren't problems in the United States. I think the people who particularly feel this in their wallets right now are small business owners.
Absolutely.
I think that big business has been very smart over the years in opting out of these state regulations and getting federal laws passed that make it much easier for them. Friends often ask me at dinner parties and so on, you know, don't you think GM has problems? Boy, I think GM has problems of managing the corner store up the street from the headquarters.
Right.
But we need more than just tax code changes. We need more than just deregulation, things you and I have chatted about before. Fundamentally, we need a cultural shift. We need to empower people. We need them to shop around. We need to do with healthcare what we've done in the other 5/6 of the general economy.
Exactly. And, you know, David, when the opposite of what we were just talking about, being consumers of health care, is what you have in Scandinavia. They have full universal health care over there. And you know what? To be honest with you, to be intellectually honest about all this, they love their health care system. But what they don't know, most of them, and what their government knows, is that health care, that universal health care that they love, now I say they love it, they like the fact that it's free. I don't know if they love, you know, if they have to wait on things. But they love the fact that it's free, but they also pay taxes so high that those economies are not entrepreneurial. So if everything was perfect over there, why would those governments be inviting Americans to come over there and help them learn how to be more entrepreneurial?
Well, they recognize that they have enormous problems. And really,
there's a shoe waiting to drop out there for them on this universal health care, isn't there?
And one finds also right across the Western world, countries like Canada, Britain, Sweden are talking about market reforms. Just a few examples just before we close off. In Canada, private clinic opens at a rate of one a week. In Britain, the Labour government was reelected, promising to quadruple the number of surgeries they would contract out to the private sector. In Sweden, the largest hospital was turned over to be managed by a private company.
Mm-hmm.
They're still socialist countries, but they're talking about the ideas of Adam Smith over there. Maybe we ought to be doing that here in the United States.
Exactly. Well, at least we ought to be valuing what we already have. They would like to get just to where we are. And we have an opportunity to get even better than what we are, and we need to focus on that. And those are the politicians, in my opinion, ladies and gentlemen, you should be listening to, whether they're Republican or Democrat. Hey, David, thanks for being here. Good job today again, as always.
A pleasure.
Very good article, ladies and gentlemen. Who's Really Sicko? That's the title of David's recent article. And, of course, his book is The Cure. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.